The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My husband Phil and I were fortunate to have a warm weather vacation with friends at their place in Hawaii in winter of 2012. It was, of course, amazing, and 10 days passed far too quickly. We got on the airplane for our flight home at about midnight and flew out over the ocean. About an hour later, the pilot's voice came over the loudspeakers and calmly announced, "We're having some hydraulic leakage, and we're returning to Honolulu. Nothing to worry about. We'll be back in about an hour." Dead silence on the airplane. No passenger said a word. No groans, no sharp intakes of breath. I think the plane must have been full of a bunch of Lutherans heading back to Minnesota, still stunned that they got to sit under palm trees while their relatives at home were shoveling snow. Or maybe they were silently having serious doubts about God's sense of humor, since I am quite certain that I wasn't the only one who, when we took off, prayed to return to Hawaii soon. Be careful what you pray for, my friends. Confession time. I enjoy flying, but I'm not really crazy about flying over the ocean. Maybe I saw Jaws too many times, and my eyes are glued to the Discovery Channel during Shark Week. I just know that I would be a tasty morsel for some hungry great white. So when the pilot said those words, "hydraulic leakage," you can imagine where my mind went. I assumed that I would survive an ocean landing only to be eaten by sharks. I know, it's ridiculous, but there you have it. And then I thought, I wonder what hydraulic fluid does on an airplane. Landing gear? Brakes? Engine lubricant? It was at that point that I began to recite to myself every scripture verse that I had ever memorized, and the very first was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Philip, my husband, by the way, was across the aisle from me, completely calm. He trusted the pilot and read his golf magazine. After an hour, I heard the landing gear deploy, which was a good thing. I thought, okay, so that's probably working. Thank you, Jesus. And then after a few more minutes, the pilot came on again in his perfectly calm pilot voice saying, "Everything is fine, but we need to burn off some fuel to be light enough to land. So we're going to circle over the ocean for a couple of hours." Oh, awesome. I was pretty sure I could hear the theme music from Jaws at that point. And I tried to drown it out by saying to myself, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." What Bible verse do you go to when the sharks of your life are circling? When you're in that hospital waiting room, or when you're required to entrust to God someone you love dearly. For millions of people through the ages, for Jews and Christians alike, it is the 23rd Psalm. As we circled the ocean, I was drawn to this beautiful psalm. I needed to move in my mind from shark territory to Good Shepherd territory. What is it about this psalm that moves us from fear to assurance? An anonymous author looked at the psalm phrase by phrase and mined its riches. He or she wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's relationship. "I shall not want." That's supply. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That's rest. "He leads me beside the still waters." That's refreshment. "He restores my soul." That's healing. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." That's guidance. "For his name's sake." That is purpose. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's protection. "For you are with me." That's faithfulness. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That is comfort. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's hope. "You anoint my head with oil." That is consecration. "My cup runs over." That is abundance. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's a blessing. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." That's security forever. And that is eternity. No wonder it's a beloved psalm to so many people. And of course, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. So when we recite this psalm, we're picturing him, right? The one who laid down his life for his sheep is the one who is watching over us. This is a close relationship. As Jesus said in the gospel reading, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." We are deeply known, deeply loved. And because he is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. Another translation says, "I shall lack for nothing." Rabbi Harold Kushner said it has this meaning: "With the Lord as my shepherd, what else could I possibly need?" Well, at that moment, maybe a little hydraulic fluid. But everyone faces that time, sooner or later, when the time of needing things, even basic things, comes to an end. In her late 80s, my mother was diagnosed with a chronic lung disease. We all understood that it would eventually take her life, and we were not ready to lose her. She comforted us with her practical faith. She said, "Well, something's got to get you. It may as well be this." Actually, it sounded more like, "Well, something's got to get you, and it might as well be this." Either way, the Lord was her shepherd, and therefore she lacked nothing that she really needed in this life or looking to the next. Happy Mother's Day in heaven, Mom. As we circled, I think I looked quite calm. But I was a little like that peaceful-looking duck whose webbed feet under the surface are paddling really fast. Have you been there? Paddling fast? I needed some of the still waters in the psalm, some serenity. The most I could do was pray. I prayed for the crew, for Phil, for all of the passengers, for God's presence with the airplane itself, for peace and calm. Sometimes the only thing we can do is the most fruitful and powerful thing we can do: pray. Well, you may have figured out how this story ends, since here I am. When we were finally close to landing, to which I say, "Alleluia," I looked out the window and I saw emergency vehicles waiting for us. Ambulances, fire trucks, lights flashing. Well, I thought, at least there are no sharks on the runway. And then, the dreaded, feared landing. Would the landing gear hold? And it was so sweet. It was so smooth of a landing. It was like a feather coming to rest on a marshmallow. And again, complete silence in the airplane. I think everyone was busy praying their thanks to God, as I was. The last verse of Psalm 23 is this, as you know, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This verse tells us where we live every moment. We live in God's presence. A scary day or a blessedly normal day, sitting under a palm tree or shoveling snow, welcoming new life or entrusting a beloved to God. We are always living in God's loving presence, always under the Good Shepherd's watchful, loving eye. The Good Shepherd has all of these gifts for us today. Let's hear them again. Relationship, supply, rest, refreshment, healing, guidance, purpose, protection, faithfulness, comfort, hope, consecration, abundance, blessing, security, and eternity. The Lord is our shepherd. Alleluia, alleluia.